Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do pray that you've had a great day today. And that you are walking closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray now. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, and to give us the truth and the depth of this word, Father. And to help us to not only speak the word, but to bring this word into our lives and live this word so that others can see what it is and the effect of it upon mankind. And they can see the difference between following the Lord Jesus Christ and following Satan. Now, Father, be with us. And I ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be here in chapter 9 of Luke. Now, beginning here with verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You see, they're not being filled with the Holy Spirit here, but the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them this power to do the work where he's sending them out at this time to do. And the reason we know that they have not been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit is because they don't get that until the day of Pentecost in that upper room. All right, now, verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. 6. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, you know, these first 6 verses here is there, and not only helping them, but also to help you and I. You see, he is actually giving this in order and doing these things to prepare the 12 disciples to carry on his work following his ascension into heaven. And Jesus wisely begins now to send them out in pairs on short missions of ministry, so that they can start to practice what he has been teaching them. That's what this is all about. Now, the 12 were at all costs to avoid the impression that they were following Jesus for personal gain, the amassing of personal fortune. And he told them not to take anything with him. But he had a reason for that also. You know, because Jesus is clearly speaking of general rejection by a whole city and not by isolated individuals. Comes a time in all of our lives that those around us, and the stronger we will walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we will face rejection and not wanted to be among them. Now, you see also, he's letting them know that this is what he is trying to get across, is it is also a reminder that this early gospel's preaching actually was based on a call to repentance. Think about that. A call to repentance. Because they are still going by the Mosaic law, and they were not keeping it. They were committing sins that, and a lot of them was even sins that they really didn't know or understand about. But it was also God's way of taking care of that, because it was not pleasing to him. And we'll be getting into that a little later down the road also. Now, not tonight, and not even the next few days, but a little ways down the road when we get into the New Testament. Now, 7. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. 8. And some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. 9. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. But you see, now in Mark 6:14-29, he goes on to relate a longer account, which actually Mark omits. Now, why Mark omitted it, we don't know. I mean, it just, the Spirit wasn't giving it to him to record. And Herod the Tetrarch, you know, the name is also called Herod Antipas. And Herod's wish to see Jesus is mentioned again in 23:8. But from 13:31, we learn that his intentions were not totally benign or not totally good. And we all know that out of it. Now, here in verse 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. Now once again, they're forgetting what the Lord Jesus has done before. Now, 13. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. 14. For they were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. So we know there's quite a few of them here. 15. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then 16. Then he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. 17. And they did eat, and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. You see, here in these 7 verses, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some things we need to really stop and think about. But you know, the reason that this paragraph is included, it concludes that the story of Jesus sending the 12 disciples out on a mission, it also reveals that Jesus took his disciples aside you know, and temporarily so that they could rest, having completed their busy preaching trip. And Jesus is showing the disciples by example to receive love that's in promptitude and how to minister to people. Because you see, up to this point, they had not really understood most of anything Jesus had said to them or even what he was doing. Now, he knows that his time is getting close to where he's going to be leaving, and he's going to be setting up the church age. Now, they need this teaching so they can carry on with his work and also to record his word and his work. Not just for themselves, but also so you and I could have it today. You know, the disciples had trusted God to provide for their own needs on their brief mission, because he had told them not to take two coats or nothing. And they had trusted him to take care of them and done what he told them to do. You know, and the feeding of a multitude was to teach them to trust him for bigger needs. And that's what we are needing today. We are needing to put our trust and faith in him for bigger things in this life that is needed. And right now, we have got some big, big things that needs to be and to be done. And we need to be putting our trust in him and our faith to see that these things are done. And we are to do our part. And that part is to stay in his word, praying and talking with him, and studying his word and sharing his word with others out here, letting them see the power of Almighty God in our lives so that they too will see and know that they need a Savior and that they will then to decide to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and get into the Word, studying it, and fulfill that plan of salvation, being baptized in Jesus' name, putting on his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and making you and your life new, becoming a new creature. But you see, most don't want to do that today. Now, you know, and he's also shown them here, he's shown the disciples, that when one uses his resources, what he has, which they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and to meet the needs of others, and we are set today to help others. God will that need and see that what we have, we will have enough to do what we want to do, and even have some left over. And it is also teaching his disciples about Jesus' deity to them, his disciples. And it should be teaching his deity to you and I today. And what he really means to us. And what we mean to him. So that he can use us as he was using them at that day and time. Now, 18. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. Pardon me. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? 19. They answering said, pardon me. They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. You see, they're not wanting to profess and accept who he really is. Now, of course, his own, those 12 will, we know that, well, 11, because one betrays him. So we know that they will accept him, but they have to go through this teaching just like you and I, and we need it. And we need more and more and more each and every day. Now, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, Christ of God. 21. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. You see, we find here so far in this chapter 9 where he has taken very little and supplied plenty to feed thousands. And then have baskets full left over. Now, you know, and we know and all that Jesus also does a lot of praying, just him and the Father. And we need those quiet times when it's just us and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are to pray to the Father, but we are to do so in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit's always in us. There'll be times that we'll start our prayers and we'll come to a point to where we can think of nothing to say. And yet we know that we still need time with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will take over and pray for us. He'll intercede and pray for us. But he'll do it in the heavenly language, in tongues. That's when we know that he is doing it for us. Now, And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What are you willing to turn loose of in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and the trip of making heaven your home? And are you really living what he has called you to do? And you know, as Brother Dennis was speaking this morning and telling you, that we all are called to work. You see, we are supposed to be doing the work that Jesus was doing while he was here on this earth. But in order to be able to do that, they are things that is required of you and I to do. That's why we need this study. And we are studying here now twice a day. But even more than that is a big help, because the Lord is supposed to be first in our lives, not second to anything or anyone, but first. And that's the only way we'll be able to make heaven our home. Now, 24. He tells us, he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You see, we can even lose our lives for him, but it will save that life. We have no excuse. There is no excuse we can make up that will really stand before the Lord God. We may think so, but he tells us no. He tells us it won't work. Now, 25. What is a man? What is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? He's asking, if you was to gain everything this world has got to give you, but then you've rejected the Lord Jesus, not done his work, what's going to happen to you? He said you'd be cast away. You'd lose yourself and be cast away, which means you're going to hell and end up with hell in that lake of fire. Now, 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, he's gave us a whole lot there to think about, hasn't he? Right there, even in that one verse. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rejecting him. You're not going to obey him. You're not going to study his word. You're not going to live by the word. He says, ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You see, there is a whole lot going on. Now, 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. You know, when they saw Jesus in his transfiguration, and all, they are getting a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And this is what he's talking about mainly there, is to see all of the things he has done and is doing, and how and why it is being done. And as we study his word, we can actually get a glimpse of the kingdom of Almighty God. Now, 28. And it came to pass about an eighth day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. You see, he done his praying. What about you? Are you really going and putting time in prayer? Now, 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah, that had died all them years before he was even born, are standing here now talking to him. 31. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. We know that that's where he went and was taken into and arrested and crucified. Now, verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. 33. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Now, 34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. As this cloud's come upon them now, they enter into it, they are in fear. 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, Is my beloved son, hear him. You know, to compare the voice of Jesus' baptism, but there, however, you know, God speaks to Jesus. Here, the message is to his disciples. This message is not to him. When he was baptized in the River Jordan by John, and the Holy Spirit descended on him as in the form of a dove, and he spoke to Moses, really. And he said, This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Now, but here he's telling them to hear him. So you see, he is talking to the Lord's disciples. 36. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. They kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Now, before we go into the rest of this, I'm going to stop here for this evening, because we got some more things coming up yet here in this ninth chapter. We still got quite a few verses to go through. So we're going to stop here for the time being and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this day and for what you've given us this day and the time, Father, that we have had and spent with your word and with each other. Father, I pray that each one that is hearing this message will give more of their time to you, Father, so they can be used in a great and mighty way to do the work that you want done here on this earth. The work as Jesus was doing it. And Father, with each and every one, to speak the gospel, to pray and heal the sick and the diseased, but most of all is to walk with you and doing according to your will and your way. And walking in obedience with your word. And Father, for your saints wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we know that that is of your family. They are yours. They are your people. You are their God. But Father, we pray for more, that one day they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, you know all the evil that's in it. We're praying for this evil, Father, to be removed. And those that have brought this evil upon us, that's sitting in leadership, we pray for them to be removed and replaced. Those that belong to you, that is walking in righteousness, that loves you, Father, loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves your church and your people, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put it back on the foundation in which it was founded on, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for those that are listening to this teaching tonight, pray for them. We pray, Father, for their health, their safe being, and for their needs. We pray for their family, their children, their grandchildren, and those that have great-grandchildren. And Father, as we prepare to separate this evening, keep us through this evening and through this night, giving us rest and peace, Father, and bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. And Father, I pray now especially for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, her husband Tom, and her son Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, and for their family, Father, and for that couple that has been walking in darkness, Father, that has made a decision to go to church this morning. And Father, I pray that they have found that they need Jesus in their lives, and that they will come to the knowledge of accepting him to make him their Savior. Now, Father, be with us all through the night, and I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good night. Make it with Jesus. And join in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And we'll be back into the Word of God, God willing. Have a great one.